You're listening to a special edition of Is Good. We have a touring artist for you today. My guest is Joshua English. We're going to start by listening to a track from his CD, Treble None, and then we'll get into some interview and some live stuff. So stick around. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Guns, forces would survive. Gotta find that perfect cadence. Think of play it double time. Out of tune and with a vengeance. See, you could've made it if I'd only tried. It's never that easy. It's nobody's fault. We're all left with what's left behind. Love sick and love with former lives. I ain't yet figured how to put this down. You'd see the Los Angeles. It killed me completely. Down needs to see the Los Angeles. Kill me completely. I'ma be right. You know it's gonna turn out fine. That's the part that's got you worried. Wanna see me happy, fall in love, be someone's baby. Truth be told, you're in no hurry.
Back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with Joshua English. How's it going, man?
Good, good. Thank you. Yourself?
So, thanks for coming in. I'm well, thank you. So here we are on a Friday afternoon in sunny Los Angeles. How long have you been in town?
For an hour.
Yeah.
A couple hours, maybe.
And you came down today from?
From Sacramento, but not actually Sacramento. From, I guess, Bakersfield is where. Scenic Bakersfield is where.
Scenic Bakersfield.
Last night, so. From there to here, so I wouldn't have to compete with the morning traffic.
Is this the beginning of a tour for you, the middle of a tour?
This is actually, I've been on tour off and on all year, but this is strictly related to a relative's 80th birthday in Vegas that's taking place
nice.
On Monday through Wednesday of next week. So I just thought Vegas it would not be my number one choice for a place to go. I thought I would make good use of it and play my way down.
It wouldn't be your first choice for an 80th birthday party either.
Well, you wouldn't think, but it perfectly fits this person.
Oh, so, fantastic.
It should be fun, and frankly, I'm sure it'll be a good time. But so I just figured I would take advantage of the fact that I'm going south and maybe play some of the places that I did earlier in the year, mm-hmm. Coming the opposite direction from South by Southwest, and maybe try to play some places I didn't play as well. Hence.
So have you played Los Angeles a few times before then?
I have. It's been a... last time I played at the Knitting Factory, it was in March, mm-hmm. the tiny room.
The alternate lounge?
The alternate lounge, the closet, as it were.
Nice.
But it was a fun show. It was a good show.
Well, why don't we jump into a live song, and then we'll talk about your whole process.
Okay.
Would you like to play for us first?
I'm going to play a song called Married in Memphis, which is as literal as it sounds, I suppose.
All right, whenever you're ready.
Would have liked to if you had met her. Kind of face tracks a sinner. Just as crazy as me. Don't have to tell you that's a good thing. You don't say, boy. You don't say, boy. Getting married, ain't that funny? Down in Memphis next Monday. Haven't told anybody except you. You don't say, boy. Don't see both. Would've liked her if you had met her.
That's how that one goes.
My guess is Joshua English. Joshua, which seems to come for you first musically? Is it when you're working on a song? Is it the melody or the lyrics? What's the genesis of a song for you?
I suppose it vacillates between like writing a bunch of lyrics that don't really, you know, kind of rhythmic things that come to me and finding their place in melodies that I've had that have, you know, that I'm just kind of singing nonsense over time to time. I don't have, my process is not so hard and fast at this point, other than songs tend to come in threes.
Oh, really?
However, that sounds a lot more mystical than it actually is. It's just something I've noticed as of late.
You just tend to write three songs and then take a break?
Yeah, or like it seems as they kind of like, if I get one, then a couple are kind of in the mix mm-hmm. as well. And I usually finish about three at a time. And so I like to book studio time when I'm about at seven, even though that throws off my my theory that I just... put out there.
But you don't, so you're not the type of artist that writes, you know, gazillion songs and then just throws them against the wall and sees what sticks. You like to follow through with each one?
No, I mean, some stuff just gets put by the wayside, of course, for mm-hmm. sure. There's B-sides for this record that, you know, some of which I'm not sure shouldn't have been on the record, but, you know, like anything else, I suppose it's more labored for me. Not labored like it's difficult, but I kind of want to not repeat myself if possible, in so much as, you know, you sound like you sound regardless.
Right.
But I'd like to try to write a song that doesn't seem like it's the second album version of the song on the album previous.
You see that with a lot of artists where it's, you know, they'll have this great, you know, first album, and then the second album is them trying to recapture all the things that people told them were good about the first album, and
sure.
they only do that. I think Coldplay is sort of the classic example of that. You know, where it's, they've just taken that one thing that they became known for and they stopped writing, you know, what, you
for
know,
sure.
really genuinely new material. But that's gotta be a serious challenge though, especially, I mean, you're a solo act, so you're not in a position where so you're not in a position where you have, people like constantly collaborating with you and saying, oh no, this isn't how we're going to do this. And
Right. I mean, I suppose that's, I played in a band in Boston for a long time, and I wrote all the songs in that band, but it was most definitely collaborative mm-hmm. insofar as the fact that, you know, I would have an idea, you know, three quarters finished or whatever, and bring it to practice, and kind of we'd go from there. And everybody's identity was so integral, I thought, to the sonics of the band
mm-hmm.
that it, you know, of course it made sense. But I guess if I step back from it, I'm used to writing songs. I'm just, you know, now my process is more like when I get enough, I'll get together with a few friends that might play on a record with me or something and kind of play through them in a band environment to see what mm-hmm. really, what sucks and what's holding up, you know.
Is that how you put this album together, to sort of get some friends to help you fill out the sound?
Yeah, I did. I did a lot of stuff with a friend of mine, the engineer Adam Taylor in Cambridge, Boston, Massachusetts, what have you. And the two other guys that played on it are just friends of mine from Detroit that I've that I met living different places all over. Mm-hmm. One of them actually when I was living in Detroit for a brief period, and the other one I knew from the East Coast. But I didn't play out any of these songs before I recorded them, which was due more to the fact that I had a good slot of studio time that was
nice,
cheap.
You got to take advantage of that.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and it's not something that I would normally do, but it was I wanted to finally get like a solo record done, and I had some of these songs for a while, and some of them were written not long before the, you know, before the record came out. So,
well, it's interesting because a lot of artists, I think, you know, they have their songs and they play them live as much as they can to sort of see how an audience reacts to them, and that
right,
helps
right.
them decide how they're going to put the album together. So, did you have to have, I guess, for yourself, a very clear idea of what you wanted this album to be ahead of time? You know, without having all of the live perspective on it, you know what I mean?
I suppose a little bit. I mean, I know that there are things that the process anymore. I mean, I feel goofy talking about it, but I mean, it's for a second record already. I guess I have a more perspective now on what I would want to do, because I was more worried about like making sure the songs were like up to snuff on this record, and I kind of feel like your first record can be a little bit more varied than a second, like the second record tends to be the one that's more cohesive because you're tending to write a lot of those songs in a shorter amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the, you know, whatever the old adage is about, you've got forever to write your first record and, you know, a year to write your second or
yeah.
whatever. But it's true to the degree that, you know, already I can kind of feel like the tone of the second record in terms of playing. I've played all these shows other than a handful of them. That I've played with a few extra friends. I've played them all solo, which is, you know, again, by default, not because I want, you know,
right,
because of some huge ego problem. It's just because of that's the only way to like subsist and survive, kind of, and it allows me to play some shows. Allows me to play shows here and there. And
well, it makes touring a lot easier as well.
For sure, except for that, to split up the drive would be amazing.
Oh yeah,
outside of that
makes sense. Why don't we listen to another track from the CD? Actually, what do you recommend?
Let's see. Why don't we listen to track number 6, which is conveniently titled 6.
All right, stick around. My guest is Joshua English.
Back when we were dumb and full of promise, do your best to keep it from the kids, maybe. We can show what's over here. Small degree. Tell me, friend, what's left for you and me? But simple truth and dying thirst, they're coming for our culture and tapered every word. Still I see a savior in big guitars and poison pens. This is nothing, this is nothing, this is nothing. Sticking around, what's overhead is coming. The youth are looking on, sitting on the couch, sounding the alarm. We'll be right back.
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Joshua English, myspace.com/Joshua English. Is that your main web presence right now, the MySpace page?
I have a, yes, it is. My main one updated. The actual domain name is being built. It's been being built, quote unquote, forever.
Uh-huh.
But eventually it'll have like a tour history and some other things. But for now, it's just a splash page, and stick with the aforementioned.
Okay.
It's going to be more up to date for certain.
So tell me, what are some of the themes that you tend to keep coming back to in your music? What are your songs? Is there one general thing that your songs tend to be about?
I think when I'm super happy or when I'm super content, I tend to write less. So to a certain degree, it's therapeutic. But with again. To avoid being too cliche, I suppose it's just a process like anything else. But I guess relationships for certain, but not specific to me necessarily. Mm-hmm. You know, just sort of like observations and like composites of people that I know, things that I think are poignant. I mean, like my favorite author has been Raymond Carver since I can't, you know. So I really love like the sort of dynamic of, I just think that like the human experience, again, mm-hmm. to not get too profound, or there's so much there, you know, in just kind of day to day existence and the different types of lives that people lead.
Do you like to write in terms of, you know, in a style of telling stories about people, or write more abstract metaphorical things?
I think that it's a bit of both. I mean, I sometimes try to make it, I've done things in songs that are like conversations that are like verbatim mm-hmm. with the person, but just snippets so that they're not too, I don't want to be too antagonistic or. And they're also not written from the perspective of, I guess I mentioned earlier, not necessarily me and a person or it could be. But if it is, on occasion, it's not always, me right, you wrong. That's sort mm-hmm. of, because I think that's oversimplification and something you do when you're a teenager as opposed to when you kind of grow into the way the world works and how cloudy everything is. Although it's a beautiful day here in Los Angeles.
When did you start writing music?
My mom's a music teacher. So when I was a little kid, I was forced to pick an instrument, and I picked violin. Because my options were not, I wasn't given guitar or drums. You need to know that as backstory that the options were, I'm sure, like piano and violin or whatever. Mm-hmm. So at some point during doing that, I got a guitar and just kind of fiddled around, but I was, no good at it. But I think I enjoyed the process of trying to learn songs on the radio I heard as a kid and that sort of thing. I've always loved music. It's always been a huge thing to me, and still it's if there's anything, remotely resembling religion in my life, it would be like the church of the song, because I just feel like that's the one thing that's spoken to me the most, and mm-hmm. like and that also like continues on to like just kind of great writing and great this and that, and I'm not putting myself in that category so much as trying to explain like motivation for I'm really inspired by the idea of just kind of like having a having something to leave behind, I guess, kind of, and kind of like adding to the canon and hopefully not taking away from it too much,
And like you mentioned that, the teenage style of writing is, very egocentric, and, you've moved past that. Maybe have you seen, since you started writing songs when you were young, have you seen your music writing style sort of evolve and mature as you evolve and mature?
God, I hope so. But I really, luckily, those early things are not public for public consumption.
Right.
They're just like cassette tapes and like garage band mm-hmm. sort of things, but the lyrical slant or bend is always it's like looking at an old picture of yourself. Mm-hmm. It's very it's funny / pathetic sort of
like an old haircut, like
and it's in a sort of like nostalgic like way. But I mean, like I said, I love, you were saying story songs, and I, outside of writers, I love John Updike, I love Raymond Carver, but like musician wise, I love, like the Tom Waits and the Leonard Cohens of the mm-hmm. world, who are almost teetering on, it's not really art rock, but it's something more than, I mean, it's certainly not top 40, and it's certainly not, it's almost not even singer songwriter. It's its own thing.
Yeah.
And that's not what I aspire to be so much as I love that stuff. And I just think that's the high watermark in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Well, and you know, those names like that, I mean, they stand out, you know, immediately who those people are. You know, they're, for lack of a better term, I mean, they're unique. And I guess that's something that you would, that any musician would want to aspire to be, you know, besides the singer-songwriter, would want to be something unique, something unusual.
Yeah, you know, that's what I hope. I mean, I you know, I'm sure I sound like some people to other people, but if I make a concerted effort to do anything, it's to not run away from, like, where my natural inclination and, like, what I sound like. Because all the things you do when you're a kid are all based on, like, oh, that's when I was really into this band. And
right.
That's when I was really into this band. And if you can't shake that at some point in any walk of life creatively, then you're going to have problems, you know.
Yeah.
You've got to kind of just do your thing and hopefully do it well enough that people are interested, or, you know, I don't know.
All right, well, let's go into a live song. What would you like to play?
I'm going to play the first song on the record differently because it's on acoustic guitar.
All right.
But it's called Go Ahead, Heal Your Heart.
My friend took me aside, offered up like free advice. Said love's a funny thing, had a case, caught a spell once or twice. You hadn't better worry, no, nothing we can do. Lifetime to pass the time, still I miss all kinds of you. Does a number on your head, makes you passionate, poetic, pathetic, tragic, and ain't that always the way with these things? Head and heal your heart, give it what it needs. Funny how I always thought we'd be. These days I'm not much for fighting, but a few used words like that, you best get behind and never mind. I know it's been a dog's age. How's every little thing out? We don't have to name names. Ain't that always the way with these things? When it healed your heart, gave it what it needed. I gave us a song. Things I done, things I own. Go ahead and heal your heart. Go ahead.
Right.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Joshua English. So,
can I tune while we're doing this?
Yeah, totally. Here, let me bring your guitar mic down.
Okay.
Tell me about performing live, like the first time you got up there and you're like, all right, I'm Joshua English, like separate from being in a band and sort of having that comfort of the other musicians around you.
Oh, I mean, totally different, again, not to be a well-worn cliche, but totally different in that it was just a different thing because I played bass in the other bands and I wrote on guitar, but I really didn't, you know, I never played it live. So again, it was necessity was the mother of invention, and I just ended up doing it, you know, and thankfully I can play my own songs, that's good enough for me, and I'm, you know, I'm trying to get better in the downtime. I'm definitely not a technically proficient guitar player. I'm like a chord guy, but, you know, for me, again, it's all about songs, and if I can convey some sort of, like, cool idea or thought, you know, or vibe, what have you.
Is there a certain kind of venue that you prefer to play in? Like, you know, small ambient room or a big crowd? Or?
I guess, you know, I like sort of like art space sort of places and coffee shop sort of places too. But the sort of, you know, being a punk kid at some point, you know, for my teen years, I think there's the antagonistic part of me still kind of enjoys the challenge of, you know, playing like before a rock band.
Like,
you know, I played
and winning over a big crowd of people.
Yeah, because I think that there's a little bit, like, I think that there's truth in the fact that, like, you know, good music is good music, and it should be able to theoretically translate in different environments. And that's not to
in
say
different
you
genres.
Wanna, yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, that's one of the best things that like about underground music for me was like how many different, you know, sort of subgenres existed if you were objective and just kind of like went to listen to music mm-hmm. as opposed to fit into a scene or what have you know. And same thing with, you know, so I think it's good to mix it up. I think it's good to not get too comfortable in one thing or another. And some of them fail, you know, miserably, and some of them succeed, but try to mix it up and get better. I mean, I just want to get better as a performer. So that's play as many shows as I can.
This whole idea of fitting into a scene, certainly in LA, it's a very popular theme of, you know, the suits try to put you into a very easy to identify category,
yeah.
Which they call indie, which nobody knows what that means. And then they, you know, and then they try to sell that package. But like you were saying, I mean, you know, you don't want to be just one thing and do only that. You know, you don't want to be tied down to just like, oh, he's this kind of singer-songwriter. And,
right.
You know, has that been a challenge for you? Like, if this CD, did you release this on your own, or is this on a
No, it's on a label. It's a friend of mine from the East Coast that's done some... that's one of the earlier releases. He's done some cool stuff. He does a guy called Golden Shoulders from Nevada City, California.
Mm-hmm.
Or Adam Klein is actually the guy's name. Golden Shoulders is the moniker. And so I'm happy on that label. I mean, it's a friend that I knew from New York, and it's...
So in a sense, even though it was on a label, I mean, this is your album. This wasn't the label's album. I mean, nobody told you how to make this album.
Not at all,
album.
No.
You had the free reign to be creative with it.
No, I got the money to make it, and he didn't hear anything till it was done.
Wow.
So, which was nice. I mean, you know, and that trust is sort of...
That's
you know,
unusual, yeah.
It is unusual, but we're not talking about, you know, $1 million budget either.
Yeah.
So, you know, take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
But I also think that, you know, I wanted to be a place where, I need to be able to trust myself, and I don't need to, you know, at this point to have, you know, if I'm going to second guess myself constantly in the studio or this and that, you know, as one is prone to do, you know, over time, to kind of like try to decide what sounds good, to have another proverbial cook in the kitchen is rarely helpful and usually just makes you kind of, you know,
well,
should go with your gut in the end, kind of.
Yeah, especially if they're thinking about things like, is this poppy enough, or, you know, is this radio friendly and things like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Why don't we, while you're still tuning, we'll listen to another track from the CD. Why don't you just pick one for us?
Let's see. Why don't we listen to last track on there? No Ready Answer, No Ready Reply.
All right, stick around. We're hanging out with Joshua English on Is Good. KillRadio.org.
Glaciers try to slow their melt, kill the pain. I am my father's son, but I am still ashamed. Said as long as we're sleeping, don't matter where we sleep. Truth is trouble none, if just a little out of reach. We'll follow us into the ground, someday you'll see. Nothing to say to make it right. Couldn't explain it away this time. Shit you can't shake. Keeps you up nights. On a park bench, talking to the pigeons. On a carpet, fucking like your life depends on it. It does, I guess. We're all just artists trying to doesn't matter where we eat, as long as we're fair. We can play nice or we can just get, just get on with it. Nothing to say to make it right. Couldn't explain it away this time. Shit you can't shake keeps you up nights.
You're listening to Joshua English on Is Good on killradio.org. Hey, man, so you like to play in a lot of different places and travel around as much as you can. It seems that way.
Yeah, well, I have a sort of not-so-secret goal of trying to play 100 shows this year. So that was the impetus for, you know, I'm hoping the next year will be a little bit more specific.
Have you had phases where, where you're just playing in Oregon, just sort of locally?
Here and there, but I really haven't played there that much because, like I mentioned earlier, I was on the East Coast for 6 years, and so it's a lot easier for me to get shows in New England and New York and mm-hmm. stuff, and because I was recording out there and because I actually have people that I can play with that can join me for shows out there, and the proximity is pretty good that they can kind of hop in for a weekend or whatever. I've only played Portland twice since I moved back.
Oh, wow.
And I've got a couple shows between now and the end of the year that are like pending, but yeah, we're coming up on 70 shows by the end of early next month.
Wow. So that's 70 shows since January of this year.
70 shows since November of last year, technically.
Wow.
But I kind of give myself November to November as a sort of
musician's fiscal year.
Indeed. Agreed. Well,
cool. Let's do another live song. What would you like to play?
All right. This is a song called Flight Risk that is about that sort of person that runs away from their problems, I suppose, not pointing fingers so much. It could be you. It could be me.
It's me.
All right. This is about John. I just wrote it.
Lives of the people who live them. Wood travels fast. Can you distance yourself from your actions? Public opinion has seen recent shifts. The victim is cast, but there's still one role left. So fire your shots, come on. People not fools. Just where do they fall? And what does it prove? See, life has a way of evening out. Give me a cheap seat, I wanna be around. And still you can't be sure why it all happened or what it's all for. What it's all for. It's okay, so safely tucked away behind state lines, talking in circles, your words not mine. That bullshit you're slinging, man, pray that it sticks. This life has legs and it's catching up quick. Still you can't decide why it went down or who's in the right this time. And still you can't be sure why it all happened or what it's all for. What it's all for. What's it all? What's it all for? What's it all for?
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Joshua English. So this is your second album, and
it's my first record by myself. I mean,
it's your first solo album.
Yes.
Okay. So now are you already working on a new one?
Here and there, yes. I'm hoping it came out in April. Mm-hmm. It's coming out in the UK in September, so I figure that gives me a little bit of time.
So it's like another launch.
Another launch, but I'm hoping that I can do it by like the middle of next year, mm-hmm. if things come together. If they come in threes.
So can you
like, sort as of, promised?
So can you sort of put that on hold and just focus on promoting this one, or do you still find new materials constantly comes your way?
I think that it's a little bit of both. I have to work on it to keep it there, but I would say I've got about 4 songs I'm happy with for a second record right now, and mm-hmm. I want to wait till I have 12 songs maybe, mm-hmm. or along those lines, 12, 13, so I can pare it down to a succinct 10.
Nice.
So
how far do you want to go with this whole project? I mean, as a solo artist, as a singer-songwriter, what is sort of the end game for you in terms of being successful? Is it just being able to produce and sell enough music to only be doing that and not need some other job, or is it something bigger than that?
I mean, that would be ideal, of course. I mean, I've played in bands now for years and different varying degrees of success, and had the sort of proverbial near misses with different things here and there, major labels and this and that, and and find myself in a position now where it feels good to be just doing my own thing, and I really like it's not that I'm lack motivation, it's just that I guess I feel inclined to just kind of want to make music and continue to make, I figure at some point if I have kids down the road or this or that, it will take on a different sort of prioritizing in my mm-hmm. life. But as it stands now and stuff, I just I'd like to get a second record out. I'd love to be able to just make records till I can't make records anymore, and whatever affords me to do that, even if I'm not touring at some point or whatever, just to have stuff to leave,
And do you want to keep it as a solo project, or do you see it evolving into, Joshua English and his band?
Oh, I love playing with the band. It, like I said, it's just financial constraints that make it easier to do this now. I'm going to tour the UK at some point with the band because the label that's putting it out there wants to hear the more orchestrated versions of mm-hmm. said songs. But I would love to have a band. But again, get into the whole dynamic of geography and where everybody is and what they're doing in life and their priorities. And the advantageous thing about this, I feel, is that I've never... It's the first time in my life here, ironically, years later, that I'm able to just kind of go, hey, I want to play this show. Yeah, I'll play this show. And that's it. That's the
You're the
that's
only
it.
Person
that's
you need
end.
To consult with. And
yeah, and it's yeah. really, again, here we go. Cliche number 20 of this episode. But it's liberating, It's mm-hmm. nice to just be able to do that. And ultimately, I just want to make music and hope that I can make good records.
Do you have like a manager or any other kind of like person who's working to get you gigs? Are you that person as well?
I have people that are friends that have helped me out in the past that are interested, that are kind of poking their nose and things here and there. Mm-hmm. But like anything, I think they're interested once you reach a certain level. That's there, But arguably, there's good reason for that. People need to. If they're making money off other things, they need to make money off you, or at least feel like they can contribute something to what you're already doing. But I'm hoping that once I hit like the 150 show mark, that I can kind of approach and or reapproach some of those people, mm-hmm. So that I'm doing it at like being as smart as I can about it, I guess.
Nice. Well, what would you like to do? We can listen to another track from the CD, or go right into another live song. It's up to you.
Let's do another live song.
All right.
If that's okay.
Yeah, yeah. What would you like to play?
Let's see. Okay, I'm going to play a song called Little Betty. This is about my friend Betty that I met when I lived in Detroit, and she existed long before the television show Ugly Betty.
Okay.
And she's Little Betty only because she was raised by her grandmother, hence the Big Betty, Little Betty distinction.
Ah.
She's actually quite tall, so I suppose that she would be Tall Betty if things were as literal as that. But this is the song.
Okay.
Little Betty, daddy's home, but she can't come to the phone. Take the number down, she says. Tell her it's an old friend from a few years back. I thought about her just the other day. You called to ask. I was floating between Boston and Detroit. Sad view, yeah. Lost the love of my life, so I had nothing to lose. Yeah. Sometimes nothing is good. Tell her she's a beauty for the ages, as they say. I should have leaned across that table and kissed her on the face. Well, are you getting this down? It's important she knows how. Little Betty's home, but she can't come to the phone. She don't have to call me back. Just leave my message, case she leave a message, case she ever asks.
Little Bobby Brady going on there with the voice with my cold.
I notice your songs tend not to be very long. Some singer-songwriters, you know, they go on and on and on and on, and you get these six-minute songs that go through all these different movements, and you seem to gravitate more towards the you make your point and get out of there kind of style. Is that something you do consciously, or does it just end up that way?
I think it's just it's habit a little bit, you know, and I love my first favorite band when I was a little kid. My uncle kind of just gave me all this stuff, and I hated about half of it and loved about half of it. And I loved The Who, if you couldn't tell, my like homage to Pete Townsend there in the middle with the
right.
And so I love like the 3-minute songs, you know, like I love the single variety. And there are songs that are, there's slower songs on the record that are like about 4 minutes and change. And it's about as good as it gets for me in terms of, I mean, unless I'm really, you know, there are some songs I'd like to do that'll be longer in the future, but it feels natural to me, you know, and it's kind of like I don't want to be, I don't have like a regimented thing, like verse, chorus, mm-hmm. out or whatever, but, you know, songs feel a certain way, and they feel like if you can convey that idea that why, you know, there's very few Bob Dylans in the world, and we don't, you know. I don't want to hear 27 verses of somebody's song, typically,
right.
Unless it is the aforementioned, you know?
Right, right. Tell me a little bit about your audience. Have you, have you been able to build a sort of a following, you know, especially traveling a lot? It must be hard to get a consistent showing at your gigs.
Yeah, it's getting better in certain places. Places where I had, you know, on the East Coast where, the band I was in did well in Boston and pretty good, pretty darn good in New York. So those are typically, you know, between friends and friends of friends and sort of people that are rediscovering that I'm doing new stuff. That seems to be getting better and better. And then I feel like, you know, the whole point is to take those spots and use the money you make from those shows to kind of widen the scope mm-hmm. a little bit. Like I mentioned, I haven't been on the East Coast for a while. So getting back here, you know, I mean, I haven't played in a band on the East Coast since I was, you know, teen, early 20s. So it's to you know, go back to that. It's nice to kind of start again and do that sort of stuff. And touring with other people obviously helps. My tour I did with Jonah Matranga earlier was good because we got in front of his audience. And, you know, anytime I can do that sort of thing, it's great. But, you know, it matters to me that it's organic on some level, too.
Mm-hmm.
you know. So you know, it takes people a while to there's a lot of crap out there, and there's a lot of good stuff out there, and hopefully this falls on one end of the spectrum more than the other. But yeah, you know.
What do you want your typical audience member to get from Joshua English music?
You know, I just it just means a lot to me. You know, I love lyrics and I love songs. And if you like, I doesn't have to be anybody that's into anything specific. Just if you know, it's once it's done, the song's done, it's out there. If you can glean something from it, something, you know, apply it to yourself, or if you just, you know, like the beat, whatever, you know, it's music. Its place in people's lives varies greatly, I suppose. I can't try to project the importance of it in my life on anybody else, you know. But
well, cool. Let's listen to one more track from the CD.
All right. Let's see. What do we want to listen to last? Oh, okay. Is this? Do we have a live track after this too, or is just this?
If one, you want to play another live one,
let's just do it on the CD then.
Okay.
The third song, Miles.
All right. This is Joshua English on Is Good, killradio.org.
Never left my bed, but you've been gone for a while. Got something on the brain, don't want to talk about it now. Wash my face and rest, stop saying, stop and stretch and think. Has it always been this way, or is it me that's changed? The lights of yours, some say it shows your age. Like, cause we got some stories, we should be ashamed. They can stand a little thing or three. Between dip down, Portland town, taxi takeoff, landing ground. We are flyover country, somehow stuck between what's allowed and what we need to be. The lights of us, some say it shows your age. Not cause we got some miles, we should be afraid. They can stand another thing or three. See, I don't know the difference between the life you live. From a book you read, from a book you read, from a book you read. Never left my bed, but you've been gone for a while. Got something on the brain, don't want to talk about it now. Wash my face and rest, stop saying, stop and stretch a thing. Has it always been this way, or is it me that's changed? Always been this way, or is it me that's changed? Always been this way, or is it me that's changed? Always been this way, or is it me that's changed? They could stand a little thing or three. See, I know enough to know I don't know a thing.
You've been listening to a special edition of Is Good on killradio.org with Joshua English. Don't forget to check out myspace.com/Joshua English. And if you're listening live, you can go check him out today while he's in town, 6 o'clock tonight at the Southwest Hill Country Store in Eagle Rock, California. You can go to his MySpace to get the address and take a look at his gazillion shows coming up all over the world. Maybe if you're in one of those parts of the world, you can check him out as well.